Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 6 and 7. Having said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Lord, have mercy. 3.5 weeks ago, it seems like half a lifetime ago, we met here at church. There were no restrictions. And one after another, people lined up and came forward to have a smudge of ashes forming the sign of the cross placed on their foreheads. And to hear the words, "Dust you are, and to dust shall you return." That was 3.5 weeks ago is all, Ash Wednesday. We have learned a lot in 3.5 weeks, a lot about being dust. It's the sudden smack of reality. And we have returned to the theme of dust. Jesus spat on the ground and made clay and put it on the man's eyes and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came home seeing. Why did he do it in that way? Going back all the way to the beginning of humanity, Genesis 2. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God takes dust and he makes something of it. The amazing thing is not that the dust should return to dust. That could be expected. The amazing thing is that God would elevate that dust in the first place. And how he has elevated that dust, that it should live and breathe, that this dust should have a soul placed within it and be able to think, reason, hope, dream and plan, that this dust is supposed to walk with God, to know right and wrong, to pray and talk with God, to live and never return to dust. How he elevates that dust. And in the relationship between our God and us. He is the Creator and he is God, and we are clay, we are dust. And yet, how is it then that God should choose to come among us and share this dust? He is man. Jesus. He is man, born to be one of us, knowing hunger and thirst and temptation and suffering and death. And this is the one who is now ruling in heaven. One dust with us, and yet ruling in heaven. In the same way, Jesus then takes the dust of the earth, and in the gospel lesson, he creates eyes that see. He heals the man born blind. And the man born blind has met God. And you can watch how it plays out through the rest of the lesson. John chapter 9. Until the man is standing eyeball to eyeball with Jesus. And he says, "Lord, I believe." You see what has happened? From the creating, once again, from the dust of the earth, Jesus has called that dust of the earth that was born blind to live in the blessings of God and walk with God forever. That's the basic story. But it spins out from there, and his parents have to deal with the miracle too. They don't do so as well as the man born blind, maybe because they had something to lose. But there's a lesson there too. Be careful. Be careful about having your soul too closely attached to the things of the dust of the earth. It's John that I quote now. "Do not love the world or the things in the world, all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God lives forever." That's the Apostle John. The first letter of John, chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And then there are the Pharisees. And they insist that they see and they know spiritual things. But all they have is the illusion of the spiritual. Their own religiosity coming out of their own thoughts and ideas. See, the word spiritual really should be reserved strictly for only those things that are given by God. The words and promises that bring eternal life. Those we find not in our own imagining, we find them in Jesus. When he says, "I am the light of the world," John 9. John 10, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." John 11, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 14, "I go to prepare a place for you. And because I live, you will live." John 19, there on the cross, "It is finished." And then John 20, outside the tomb talking to Mary Magdalene. "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father." And a week later, to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands." You see, we have an awesome God. The God of heaven has decided to walk with us and to know us intimately. As we live this life, our very existence is conditioned by the fact that the living risen Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth, is with us and in all of this with us. And to coin a phrase, he is one dust with us. He did not have to be. He did not have to share this dust, this mortal nature. He chose to do so. And with that dust that he had taken on himself, he chose to go to the cross, to share our death, to be laid in a tomb, and on the third day, to take that dust, to rise from the dead, to glorify that dust he shares with us. Even when we do not know what is going on, he is there. Jesus is with us. Even if we do not know how to pray, Christ himself is with us and guiding us along. If we are unsure and filled with doubt, we still have the Lord who knows the end of all things, knew it right from the beginning, and he is able to lead us step by step. We may be in turmoil. He is our peace. We may have doubts, but he, Jesus Christ, is the author and perfecter of faith, who is able to guide us in faith because he walked it first. And this is his plan. His plan is that this dust should walk with God and celebrate his love and share his eternal life. Who would have thought such a thing of dust? Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Be sure of this. He is persistent. Sometimes you hear it in the words, God is faithful. But we can say it this way also. Jesus is determined, tenacious, persistent in the face of all obstacles. And he has decided and he wishes to bring us into sharing his life. In Jesus' name, amen.